Men, fathers, dads, husbands, you need to be the leader in your family because you're a failure. So that's my introduction. That's not meant as a criticism to you, because I don't know a few of you, and you're not failures that I know of, but it's my testimony. I'm a failure. And that's not meant to be discouraging, it's meant to be an encouragement. And it's meant to point you to the one who is not a failure, who is definitely very capable. My daughter Krista was born, she was our first child 22 years ago, summer of 1987. They knew right away that there was something not right. She had her fingers that are fused, they looked like mittens when she was born. Her toes were fused, her head didn't have the right shape. So they could see that there were some problems. She initially wasn't making a whole lot of noise, but then she started crying and crying and crying. Wouldn't stop, and eventually, after a couple of hours of that, she was so exhausted her heart stopped, and so they got that restarted and rushed her down to the Children's Hospital, and you know, that kind of thing. I think a lot of you have probably been through something along those lines, kind of a traumatic start to life. She was diagnosed with something called Apert syndrome a day later. It took a day to figure out what it was, because it was a fairly rare thing. Surgery the second day, it turned out the reason she was crying so much is because her nose was just blocked off with bone. And so she couldn't breathe. And the only way she could breathe was to keep crying. So surgery the second day of her life, that was to be the first of 60, 65 something. We've lost count long ago how many surgeries, how many times she's been in the operating room. Pretty traumatic couple of days. One of the things we remember, she was born in Fairview Ridges down in Burnsville. I don't know if you remember, in the summer of 1987, there was a couple of terrible thunderstorms, 10 plus inches of rain, closed a lot of roads and stuff. Krista was born in the middle of that. And so we couldn't even get down to Children's for a couple of the days to be with her. But one thing we both remember, Mary and I both remember, is somebody had the gall to paint graffiti on the bridge, the Burnsville Parkway Bridge going across 35W. They wrote Trust Jesus. They painted Trust Jesus on the bridge. Now, I'm not recommending graffiti on bridges, but that was definitely a message that we needed to hear, we needed to see. So that was something we'll always remember. Pretty stressful first couple of years. Krista was in and out of the hospital every couple of weeks for surgery. By the time she was 18 months old, I think Mary counted that she had had 18 surgeries. 4 months old, she had an operation where they cut her head open from ear to ear and took her skull apart and put it back together a different way. And just a lot of struggle, a lot of unknowns. She was in the hospital for six weeks or so, and then when we finally did come home, came home with a carload of monitors and stuff and special cares that we had to do. So a lot of stress, no free time, really nobody that we could count on to come over and babysit while we got away, because it was just something that nobody knew what to do with. So a lot of stress, which again, you guys have been through this. I think a lot of you probably have, so I'm not telling you things you haven't been through yourselves. Every stage in Krista's life has been kind of a new step in grief. Baby years, while all of our friends, family were having babies, healthy babies that were growing up and doing the things that babies do, ours wasn't. And when they start school, grade school, other kids are going to school and doing all these things, and Krista's falling behind. And I get to adolescence, and Krista just doesn't fit in the same as the others. And kids get to be 15, 16 years old, they're going off to driver's training and learn to drive, and Krista will never drive. And graduating from high school and going to college, Krista will never go to college. And now she's kind of at that age where people are starting to get married, and that's not something that's going to happen. You guys, some of you have been through this long before we have. Some of you have still yet to come, but I think you know what I'm talking about. But it's a different stage of grief each time. And in saying that, I don't mean to say that life has just been miserable. Krista has been a wonderful daughter. We love her. Huge amount of blessings in her life because of her. A lot of joy, great joy mixed with some great sorrow. Mary and I, my wife and I, both have dealt with this, have responded to this very differently. We're men, they're women, and not to stereotype, but men tend to respond in a certain way, and women tend to respond in a different way. For Mary, it was very personal, very emotional, and she took things that way very much. For me, my personality is more, well, it happened, so now what do we do? Let's figure out the next step. For Mary, she's home all day taking care of her child. For me, I go off to work every day, and I can leave it behind, at least to a certain extent. So there's very different ways of dealing with it, and didn't necessarily recognize that, or at least didn't know what to do about it for a long, long time. It's just the way we were. excuse me. The thing that helped us the most, I think, getting down to the point, is when we finally were able to grasp, finally able to realize and admit and understand that this wasn't some gigantic cosmic accident. It wasn't punishment. It wasn't a case of bad things happening to good people. It wasn't just a big case of bad luck. It wasn't any of those sorts of things. This was part of a good plan by a very capable, very in control Heavenly Father. And in one sense, sort of deep down, we knew that. But in another sense, it's just not something that we grasped easily. And yet it's made all the difference. And so I hope that each one of you will be able to say, it takes a while to get there, that this isn't just a bad thing. This is something that God has a plan for. God has reasons for it. We don't understand it. We maybe sometimes will understand a little bit of it, but there's an awful lot that we probably never will. But once we confronted, once we grasped that concept, and it's not just a concept in the head, it's really a concept in the heart, that's made a huge difference. I don't deserve a disabled child. I deserve much worse. My sin is a lot bigger stink and a lot bigger problem than any disability is. And yet God sent His Son to come down and be punished for what I deserve. And I deserve, like I said, a lot more than just a disabled child. But because I have a disabled child, it gives me a little bit better, it gives me a more clear picture of how weak and how incapable and how sinful I am. I can't control an awful lot. There's a lot that I can control, and when I do, I screw things up. I'm a sinner. You guys are sinners. We're failures, let's face it, in that sense of the word. We're just plain failures. And so my encouragement to you is to take that failure in your life. You're the lead failure in your family because your family is all sinners. All of our families are. You're the lead failure in that family. So as the leader, as the lead failure, be the one that grabs on the tightest to Jesus Christ. Be the one that spends the most time in your family, in the Word, in prayer. So that you can bring your family to that one who's not a failure. Be the one who leads your family in devotions. Be the one who prays with your wife, prays with your kids, because you're a failure. Not because you're so great, but because you've tasted the goodness of the Lord, who is capable and who is in control, and you can bring your family to that same Lord. Be the one that shows that you're weak, and that you're sinful, and that you have a Heavenly Father whose power is made perfect in your weakness. Be the one in your family who can show that in the world you'll have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. And be the one who can proclaim in your family that God knows the plans He has for you. They're plans for good and not for evil. They're plans to give you a future and a hope. So be the one that does that. Be the failure that leads your family, leads your failed, weak family to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.